Save big on your landscape project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our interlock edgers on sale now through March 22nd. Save big on landscape block at Menards. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as we have two significant updates on Sandro Tonali this morning. One, open to a move to Manchester United, and two, Man United seriously making a move for him. Is a quick deal in the offing. We'll get into that, of course. We're also going to be talking about Jason Wilcox under pressure. If you've seen the article in the Manchester Evening News, this is pure spin trying to tell the world how great he is. Well, let's have a look at how bad he is and why he'd be trying to tell the world how great he is. Because he's under huge pressure. Remember, it was Sir Jim Ratcliffe that basically said that Man United's recruitment was exclusively through Jason Wilcox's eyes at the start. Obviously, that's changed with Favel coming in, but we'll talk about that as well. And also two big things this morning around why Manchester United need to change what they're doing, because these two things that we've done in the past have led to success. But let's get straight into the Tonali show. How are you doing this morning, everybody? It's 4 a.m. in the USA, says Wyatt, which is a very USA name, if you've seen the film. Wyatt Earp, very good. Anyway, there we go. But Gaz says, Goldbridge, you cracked me up on Baller League face-off. I think I cracked everybody else up on the result on Monday night. But look, hopefully we're going to bounce back next Monday. But let's talk about United and let's start off with this story about Tonali. So, look, two things. I think there's something going on here. I think that the agent of Tonali a week ago talking about, yes, we want him to be the best midfielder in the world when asked about leaving Newcastle was a clear sign that he's going to move. They have a huge game tonight. And this reminds me a little bit of Paul Pogba when we were playing, I think, Wolfsburg. I don't think he was playing. We needed to win to stay in the tournament. I think Solskjaer was coach. I think it was Solskjaer. And Mino Raiola put out an interview the night before the game. And it was out of order, but it was completely about Pogba and, you know, making Pogba's career path the best it can be. And in a way, this is a little bit similar because it's, you know, it's the day of a massive game for Newcastle. And if they don't beat Barcelona, they're out of the Champions League. And when you look at the league, they're not going to be in the Champions League next year. And Tonali, at his age, is going to want to be. And it's just, it's clever timing what's come out today, in my opinion, to just make everybody think about Tonali wanting to leave Newcastle on the day where he's going to be playing in the Nou Camp against Barcelona. I think it's just clever timing from an agent that, as we said yesterday, probably wants to get this deal done before the World Cup so that they can focus on next season. But this is, well, the two updates. The big update for me is from what's the name of this person? Christopher McKell, who is a freelancing journalist who is considered by the transfer gurus. I think even MUFC MPB put out this morning a fairly reliable source. It's certainly not Luckhurst or someone like that. It's not the Sun. It would be, you know, fairly reliable source. Not Ornstein or Romano, but fairly reliable source saying that Sandro Tonali is apparently quite open to a transfer to Manchester United. The club are seriously working on a move for him. That's a significant update if he is open to a move to Manchester United. And then there is another story this morning, which is coming in from the iPaper from two journalists saying that Manchester United are seriously interested in Sandro Tonali to strengthen their midfield, as Casemiro is set to leave at the end of the season, with the club potentially signing two midfielders. Whilst Elliot Anderson is their first choice, he prefers a move to Man City, and Adam Wharton is another strong target. But Tonali has risen rapidly up United's wishlist. Newcastle value him in excess of £100 million. Ineos favour players with Premier League experience, and Tonali's energy, ground coverage and box-to-box style are seen as the perfect complement to Kobbie Mainoo. So, look, tentative steps. This is starting to look possible. I would say there are two factors here. And the five strands of transfer have to come out. We take them out of the cupboard. We bring them out here. This is the United stand time. This is our thing. The five strands of a transfer. So if you're new, which you shouldn't be, you'll know what this is. When there's a transfer story, there are five theories. One, it's totally true. One, two, it's total bollocks. Three, it's the selling club trying to generate interest. Four, it's the player trying to get a new contract at the club. Or five, it's the agent trying to stir up interest for his player. I think this might be five. I think this might be the agent of Tonali stirring up interest. And, you know, we have heard this stuff before. Victor Osimhen, a year ago at this time, was open to a move to Manchester United. I remember it happening a couple of times. Victor Osimhen was open to a move to Manchester United, and he ended up going to Galatasaray. So Tonali being open to a move to Manchester United doesn't mean he's going to sign for Manchester United, but it's clever from the agents. It opens a door for Manchester United. And I think it's one we have to try and walk through. Now, as I've said before, it's the price. It's all about the price tag. It's Jesse J time, because United will not want to spend £100 million on a player. They just won't want to do it. And everything that's listed about his mobility, his box-to-box ability, his passing, these things are all relevant. But he fits the glove for what United are meant to be all around. We want Premier League proven and 26 or under. Well, he's 25. He's 26 in the summer, but he's Premier League proven. He's 26 or under. And he's arguably the best midfielder in the Premier League. And he doesn't play in Bruno's position. So if you could get Tonali, I think Bruno Fernandes stays. I think Bruno Fernandes stays if you get Tonali. As long as you don't give the job to Southgate or De Zerbi, I think as long as you give it to Carrick or Enrique or Nagelsmann and you get Tonali, I think Bruno stays. Because I think you sort of like go, I've got one of the best midfielders in Europe behind me. I've got me. We've got a good front line. Get a couple of fullbacks and we're laughing. So, yeah, it does. I've got to say as well, you know, I know it's the United stand, but it's the Manchester United stand. This is not the Newcastle United stand. But I do have sympathy with Newcastle. I do have sympathy with Newcastle, because we have been in this position before on the night of a big Champions League game, and your star midfielder, I'm not going to say he's leaking stuff, but, you know, his agent said something a week ago. There's some stuff coming out this morning. But I do feel like the thumbnail says, I feel like a quick deal for Tonali, not from Man United's point of view, but I feel like that there is a quick deal being pushed here by his agent and maybe him, that they don't want to walk into the same situation that Isak did. Isak, obviously, and Tonali was there at the time. And if you know the story of Isak, and this could be relevant for Lewis Hall, Anthony Gordon, Livramento, Bruno G, Tonali. If we go for any of these players, what I'm about to say about Isak is really important, because you've got to understand the transfer market. And most of us do. You know, I love the football, but when the football finishes, I love the summer transfer window, because there is no footballing. You're just basically talking about agents and processes and how long is it going to take. And I think when you look at the Isak transfer, I think people like Tonali, Bruno Guimaraes, Anthony Gordon, if they are looking to leave, they will look at the Isak deal and they will go, well, Alexander Isak wanted to leave Newcastle and he told them he wanted to leave, and Newcastle basically ignored it to try and make him stay. And he had to go public at the end of the window, which meant he didn't get a pre-season, which meant he didn't get his move until right at the end of the window. And look at him now, he's injured. So I think if you're a Newcastle player and you're looking to go, you probably want to make it very obvious, very quick, that you don't want to be waiting all summer and Newcastle playing games saying you're not going. And it's harsh on Newcastle, but I think what we're getting is a polite general leak coming out from Tonali's side that he's looking to move on this summer because Newcastle aren't matching his ambition. So a quick deal for Tonali suits Man United. And as I said yesterday with Fulham, Fulham have signed this lad from PSV, this striker. And some people are going, well, how have they done that? How have they done that? Because you can. It won't happen with Man United and a Premier League player, but technically we could announce today that we've done a deal with Newcastle for Tonali and he's joining us next season. You would never do it. It wouldn't make any sense to do it. But you can be working on these deals. And I think that there is a quick deal that can be done with Tonali, and I think that's probably what his agent is looking to do. Look, maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe it's the fourth strand of the transfer. Maybe it's the he wants a new contract at Newcastle, and maybe he'll sign a new contract at Newcastle. But I think Ladios says, would you accept paying $100 million for Tonali? I think that's one for the chat, our moderator there. I think it's a good thing just to get a... Because they do watch at United here. This will be part of their market research. Would you accept paying £100 million for Tonali? Yes or no? Ryan says, realistically, I think we get Wharton, a left back and a backup striker and a winger. Never sure until window is closed with this club. No way we get three midfielders. I just think we need to move quick. Patrick Lynch says, I dislike how much some of our targets are being discussed in the media. Feels like trying to put Wilcox and co in a good light. Look, we are working on big targets only for us to end up with subpar players, but we tried. Yeah, and I think that's the... I want to talk about this Wilcox spin in a couple of minutes, Patrick, because I think that's a precursor to that. And, you know, we live in a world where we can be manipulated by media. I mean, look, in no way, shape or form am I jumping into this debate. But when you look at what's going on in Iran, a lot of what's happening in Iran is being played out with tweets and Instagram posts, you know, merging clips from films and stuff. It's like you sort of look at it and go, I saw what happened in Iraq in the early 90s and in the early noughties. And you would never have people tweeting out stuff like that. So, you know, big businesses, big organizations, big governments, they can just spin a story. And the world is a small place now with all these social media apps and ability to do it. So I think United I'm fully aware, Patrick, and I think everybody else, Man United, well, there's a piece come out from Manchester Evening News, which we'll talk in a minute, which is just pure spin. Trying to, because Wilcox is under pressure. He's under pressure, so he's got to try and make himself look good. Tonali, Gomez, Fernandez, brilliant midfield haul, says Seb. I'd love us to sign three, but somebody just said there, I can't see it. If we're a serious club, we get Tonali and Hall out of Newcastle. If we want to compete next year, we would need best in class. I tell you what, if we had Tonali and Lewis Hall at Man United next season, I'd be very confident of us getting back into the top five. I think that's the sort of quality signing you need to make. Christian says, morning, Mark. Tonali would make you so much better. I hope we get him or Brazil Bruno. Thank you very much for that. Just some early super chats coming in there. I'm a Red says, exactly. This is my major problem with Manchester United. Other big clubs move in silence and we get deals done. But Manchester United talk more than a chicken's anus. It is true. And look, Manchester United, for a long time, way before Ineos came in, have recruited people and paid people to manipulate you. And the media. There was that famous interview with Gary Neville where he said a few years ago that he was aware of somebody, I think it was an American guy, whose job at Manchester United was to spin positivity around players to the extent that they would monitor social media behavior towards certain players. And if somebody was, you know, not popular in the team, maybe like a Luke Shaw or a Dillo at the moment, then they would specifically home in on that player for some positive PR, which is quite funny, actually, because if you look at the Man United X account over the last few weeks, constantly posting about how great Luke Shaw is, and that's how it works. You log online, Manchester United official account, so credibility, you know, straight away, you see, you know, it's not It's not like a bloody aggregator, is it? It's the United official account with millions of followers, credibility. Oh, Luke Shaw's amazing. Oh, Luke Shaw's amazing. It's all PR. That's how it works. The drip, drip, drip effect. But look, in relation to Gnarly, look, this is the sort of deal we should be looking at. This is the sort of deal we should be going for. But as Patrick says, it's just about how much you believe it. Because he is available. He is perfect. He ticks all the boxes United have set themselves. And I don't agree with the parameters of under 26 Premier League proven. I don't agree with that. I think it's too narrow. But actually, Tonali has to be at the number one, has to be there, doesn't he? And just on that for a moment, I wasn't going to talk about that. But look at Chelsea, 8-2 over two legs to PSG's Enrique. I'm not talking about Enrique. You know, Rio Ferdinand says that, you know, we should go for Carrick over Enrique because Enrique is not Premier League proven. How many Premier League clubs has Enrique beaten in the last 12 months, comprehensively? At least six that I can think of. He did Villa home and away. He did Liverpool home and away. He's done Chelsea home and away. Yeah, but he ain't Premier League proven, is he, Rio? But the point is, Chelsea. Remember a year ago, almost to the day, it was the first week of April, our source told us that United wanted Delap and they were confident they were going to get him. And as part of that update, it was talking about, it was Chelsea's, Man United's obsession with Chelsea. Now, we know that Delap story was true. And we were the first people to report that through the source we had. And we know that was true. It's categorically true. Manchester United wanted Delap. And we also know that we're obsessed with Chelsea because Sir Jim had a bloody season ticket there and Favel obviously worked there. They're obsessed with Chelsea. And we copy Chelsea's parameters. We want to buy young with sell-on value and we want them to be under 26. Look at Chelsea. Their fan base is in uproar. This is a club that since Todd Boehly came in 3 years ago, have spent £2 billion. £2 billion. And they're unhappy with their owners. Now, I sort of look at Chelsea and I go, it is a mess. But it's hard for me to say how bad their owners are because at least that owner came in. I mean, Todd Boehly could be Sir Jim Ratcliffe. Like, Todd Boehly came in and just pumped billions in straight away on transfers. We don't do that. But why Chelsea fans aren't happy is because they're fed up of the parameters of buying players under a certain age who are young and watching them get done over by better, more experienced teams. That is a warning to Man United. Following a Chelsea model is not going to lead to success because every season they're coming up short because they're all too young and inexperienced. And now their good players like Enzo Fernandez are doing interviews after the game last night basically saying he wants to leave because the project is a joke. It is a joke. So just a warning there. But look, 62% of you have said that you would accept paying £100 million for Tonali. Well, if you don't, Arsenal will. That's all I'm going to say. That's my answer. If you're not comfortable with paying £100 million for Tonali, Arsenal will. Chelsea will. That's why Arsenal have got Declan Rice. That's why Chelsea have got Caicedo. You can sit there on your financial, moral high horse and go, we shouldn't pay £100 million for Tonali. And then some of us will go, Arsenal paid £100 million for Declan Rice from West Ham. Tonali is literally doing it in the Champions League for Newcastle. Newcastle got every right to whack that £100 million price tag on it. If you don't want to pay that, I'd love to go for a pint sometime and get to the bottom of why you think you're an accountant for Manchester United. I mean, why do you give a shit? Why do you care? Like £100 million to bring in arguably the best available midfielder in Europe. Why are we bothered? Why are we bothered about that? If that's the price, I mean, ultimately, I would rather pay 80. I would much rather pay 80. But what I'm saying is, if Arsenal offer 100 and Tonali says, I'd rather go to Man United. So if you offer 100, you come to me. Are we walking away? And that's the question, really. It's if the price is 100 and he's going to go to Arsenal or somewhere else, but he'll come to us if we pay it, are you walking away from that deal? No, I'm not walking away. You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. I saw a fantastic post, actually, today from, I think it might have been Swedish Rumble again, because he's all about the financials, isn't it? And it was along these lines. I'll read it out, actually, because it was a tweet. We need to start factoring in wages. Real Madrid's wage bill this season is approximately 495 million. Of that, 400 million is paid to the players. City's player wage will be 320 million. Chelsea's harder to read, but roughly 250 million. Man United's is 195. It costs money to compete at the top. Boom. It's so true. And this is what I mean about spin. How many times a month do you read an article from a Man United attached journalist talking about reduction of the wage bill? I mean, look, a lot of you want to keep Casemiro. What's the antidote to that? The money will save in his wages. How many times have you read in the last 48 hours the money will save in wages from Casemiro going? As a positive. Who gives a shit? I mean, whether I want to keep Casemiro or not, the money will save in his wages as the reason to get rid of him. Did anybody see the fucking header he scored at the weekend? How many people in world football can do that? But think about the money we'll save in wages. Okay, so we'll draw to Villa, but we'll save money in wages. And that's the real quiz. We might not win games next season because we don't have Casemiro, but we'll save 300 grand a week in wages. And that's the stupidity of the fans who get excited or praise Ineos for reducing the wage bill. It's pure stupidity, and I hate to be that blunt, but it is. Real Madrid are out there spending £400 million a year in wages. Man City are out there spending £320 million a year in wages. And Man United is dropping by the year, and it's below £200 million now. And some people are out there praising it. Like, you are going to benefit. Oh, we're saving money. I'll get a pay rise. You don't get fucking paid. You pay the club. You're not benefiting from Man United's wages coming down. You're not benefiting at all. In fact, you're probably going to pay because Man United didn't qualify for Europe last year. And yet they've made the same amount of money from match day receipts, despite us playing 10 games less, because they've increased the price to you. It's like gullible seals clapping as they get in a fake fish. It's fucking stupid. We do have fans in our fan base who praise the reduction of the wage bill. You know, and it's like, we weren't in Europe this year. We might not be in Europe the season after next. You get what you pay for. People need to realise it costs money to compete at the top. Every club that is at the top paid money. PSG, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Arsenal, Man City. All these clubs are spending more money than us on wages and on players. And we've got some fans going, about Man United reducing wage bills. It's mad. It's absolutely mad. United Nick says, I don't know why we have an obsession with buying young to sell on when we are shit at selling on, says United Nick. Yep. And it's wild to see people say no to Tonali for 100 million, but yes for Belaba. Mark, what about Edison from Atalanta? I think Edison from Atalanta, I think we'd need a more, maybe we can ask Ben Jacobs about it tomorrow, but we'd need a more, he has been mentioned, but it feels a little bit like when we used to get linked to Milinkovic-Savic after Mourinho had left. It was always a Mourinho target, and I feel Edison might well have been a Ten Hag target. Rashil says, I think the manager call is directly dependent on Favel with his RB connections and Nagelsmann, as I believe options like Ancelotti and Tuchel are off the table with their new deals impending. Yeah, completely. And let's not forget, I think Wilcox will be pushing for Carrick. Frank says, you know so much wrong in the club, yet you do nothing. Mate, I know loads. I know what's wrong with the country as well, but I can't be prime minister tomorrow. I mean, that's Frank. I don't know what your circumstances are, but I'm sure every single one of us know a lot of things that are wrong in the world, and are absolutely powerless to do anything about it. So I don't really get the point of that. Daniel says, if Tenali is open to a move, we should be all over it. Call him Seth Rollins, as he'd be a revolutionary for our midfield. We should move quick like Bolt and do things to get him. We need the best, which he is, says Daniel. Hope you're doing well this morning. Thank you very much for that. Also, just go back to Frank's point where he says, you know so much wrong in the club, yet you do nothing. I'm reflecting here. This is not me. This is you. I think starting something with nothing, like literally nothing, just an idea, and 10 years later, having a community that is watched daily by hundreds of thousands of people and millions of subscribers, I don't think that's doing nothing, Frank. It's probably not enough for what you want, but starting something that didn't exist and turning it into the biggest fan community around Man United in the world, at least we're talking about it and thousands of other people are thinking about it. That might seem like nothing to you, Frank, but there's not a hell of a lot more we can do. And it isn't nothing. So I would defend the community in relation to that. We're conversing every day, thinking, debating. And trust me, it does get listened to. If we spend £100 million on Tonali, how much would that hinder us getting more best-in-class midfield? Sorry if it's a stupid question. No, the Nooch, it's not a stupid question at all. I mean, look, obviously, if you spend £100 million on Tonali, and you've only got a budget of 250, you've only got £150 million left. But, and quantity is important, but I do think that Belaba and Gomez for £100 million isn't as good as Tonali on his own. So I suppose it comes down to combinations. Elliot Anderson's going to cost about 70, 80. Wharton's going to cost about 70, 80. So I think £100 million on Tonali, when you look at what, look, Chelsea and Arsenal change the game. The minute they gave £100 million for Declan Rice and £100 million for Caicedo and Enzo, they changed the game. And I think a top premium midfielder, you've got to pay for it. Do I think Man United would pay £100 million for a player? No. No, I don't. I genuinely don't. The Filthy Underdog says, Mark, Bruno gives us assists, set pieces, creativity, leadership. If we lose him this summer and you had a blank check, who do you fill the void with? Then who do you think the club actually buys? I mean, look, that's a horrible question. I personally think that Cole Palmer is probably the one to go for. Just had a question here about whether I'd go for Enzo Fernandez or Tonali. There is this myth that Enzo Fernandez is a lot younger than Tonali. Tonali's 25, Enzo Fernandez is 25. There's a 6-month difference between age. I think I'd go for Tonali because I think Enzo Fernandez is more of an 8, and I think we need a proper 6, to be honest with you. I think Chelsea are in trouble, though. I mean, I don't think we'd get Enzo Fernandez out of Chelsea, but I think Chelsea are in trouble, certainly. Right, let's talk about this spin piece this morning, because I was actually going to lead on this until we had the Tonali story coming in, but this caught my eye this morning because I thought, you know what? Journalism is journalism. They've all got mortgages to pay. And, you know, if you work for somebody like the Manchester Evening News or the Daily Mail or the Telegraph or the Athletic, you're basically a shill. You know, you're not a journalist of the past who goes, you know, that you're so powerful that the editor says, all right, I'll let you run with it. You're a shill for clicks and views. That's what you are. You follow the line. You have a relationship with the club. They tell you something. You put it out there because your editor says so. You can't even add context. You just spew it out. It's what's the word I call it? Client journalism, basically. You feed out stuff for the club. So this was in the Manchester Evening News today. Let me read it, and then we'll pick it apart. For me, I would use the headline "Wilcox under pressure" because this. Is I knew this was coming. I said this was coming. It's the perfect time. They now need to make Wilcox look competent because he's going to choose the manager and he's going to choose the transfers. They should have sacked him, but he's the guy with a lot of power and he's not respected in the fan base. So they need to build his PR. So listen to this. I think he's under pressure and I think this is why they're doing it. because they've got to try and make him sound good. Manchester United believe that their biggest weakness, recruitment, has become their biggest strength since Wilcox came in. Wilcox has been crucial behind the scenes and deserves praise for overseeing a successful transfer window in which Cunha, Mbeumo, Sesko, Lemons were signed for a combined £215 million. We'll come back to that. United's biggest problem was scoring goals, so they signed two Premier League proven players in Cunha and Mbeumo. Sesko and Lemons arrived later with no Premier League experience, but the numbers were crunched on both. Lemons has proven to be a wonderful addition. Lyon is the only doubt. The 18-year-old has spent the season with the under-21s, although he was signed for just 3.3. So basically, Jason Wilcox deserves all the credit for Manchester United's summer last year. Shall we list off everything Jason Wilcox has done bad before we come back to this? So Wilcox was basically the first one through the door. He was in before Ashworth. He was in before Berarda. He literally came in within the first few weeks of Ineos getting the job. I think he was in for like March or April. He was there right near the start. In fact, he was there so early that he tried to claim that he picked the team for the FA Cup final that Ten Hag won. Remember that? He then chose to keep Ten Hag when he could have been sacked and spent £300 million on him. That £300 million was Ugarte, that Ten Hag didn't want, Xerxes, Yoro, and I can't remember who else we got that summer, but look, Xerxes and Ugarte, flops, basically, technically, whatever you want to call it. So, kept Ten Hag, gave him £300 million, some of those players have been flops, backs Ashworth to get the job, sacks Ten Hag, sacks Ashworth, pushes for Amorim, sacks Amorim. I mean, that's eight things off the top of my head, and it's probably cost us close to 100 million quid. And that's all in the space of 18 months. So let's just remember Wilcox claiming responsibility for last summer. But let's not forget what he's done in 18 months. It's been an absolute shit show, and he should be sacked. For everything I've just said there, he should be sacked. Keeping Ten Hag, sacking Ten Hag, buying players that have proven to be a flop, recruiting Ashworth, sacking Ashworth, recruiting Amorim, sacking Amorim. I mean, come on. He hasn't done a very good job. As for the summer, why is it not mentioning Liam Delap for a start? Like, Wilcox prioritised Liam Delap as our striker. And if he'd got his way, we wouldn't have Sesko. We'd have Liam Delap. So how can Wilcox claim responsibility for last summer when we already know if he'd got his way, we'd have Liam Delap up front and not Sesko? So come on. Sesko was for Vels, and he had to fight Amorim and Wilcox for that. Lemons, well, we were going to keep Onana. The plan was to keep Onana. So why are we being contradicted? The plan was to keep Onana, and right at the end, they realised, shit, we can't keep Onana, and they went for Lemons, which was recommended by Tony Cotin. Cunha and Mbeumo, I don't really care. If you want to give Wilcox credit for it, to be balanced, that's absolutely fine. It's funny how Cunha and Mbeumo have both done interviews saying it was Amorim who persuaded them to stay. And then the big mic drop for me is, are we not going to talk about Bruno? The most important signing of last summer was keeping Bruno Fernandes. And when you listen to Bruno Fernandes' own words, he's not happy with the board, who he felt were trying to push him out of the club, and it was Amorim who persuaded him to stay. And this one doesn't get spoken about. But listen to Bruno's interview in November, and he specifically says he felt he was being pushed out of the club by the board, and it was Ruben Amorim that persuaded him to stay. So our most significant signing or deal was Bruno. So just beware of the spin. That's all I'm going to say. We're getting fed Wilcox, wonderful Wilcox. There is so much evidence of this. He shouldn't be in a job. I'm not going to scream and shout. He shouldn't be in a job. Sorry, I'm just going to read this out because I missed it there. And, you know, I think we do need to sometimes go back to it, but I can't. I think it's whizzed through the chat. Bear with me. I just want to get the name of the person who said it. They might have deleted it. Anyway, it whizzed through. You're going to get away with it, I think, because I think it's gone through very, very quickly. Give me three more seconds. I did read it and it's just gone. Somebody in the chat said you wanted Bruno gone. Yeah, I mean, look, you can either be a low IQ, easily led moron, or you can actually watch the content and understand the context. Because I'm getting a little bit bored of repeating this, but some people still see stuff online and believe it. You know, have you ever heard of out of context? Because your life's going to be pretty shit if you don't understand context. There probably is a clip saying sell Bruno from me. But the context was always he was playing in the midfield. End of conversation. Specifically remember saying, if Bruno Fernandes is a number 10, you never sell him. Midfield, I'd have sold him. As a number 10, I'd never sell him. And so many United fans said that. And now Bruno's doing well in a number 10. We're meant to be going, oh, I'm sorry, I wanted to sell him. No, that's not what the majority said. I remember doing the poll in June last year. If he's going to be in the midfield, sell him to Saudi for 90. If he's going to be a number 10, keep him. That was always the context, always. But yeah, just beware of the Wilcox spin. I mean, I don't think there's a Man United fan out there stupid enough to fall for it, because the list of Wilcox mistakes are plentiful. And I would say the top three Wilcox mistakes, and there are about 10, the top three for me, what are your top three Wilcox mistakes? Get in the comments, because he has made so many. It's not actually sacking Amorim. I think that makes him look stupid, but I wouldn't say sacking Amorim was in his top three mistakes. I wouldn't say sacking Ten Hag was in his top three mistakes, even though he kept him and gave him 300 million and sacked him 3 months later. It was an expensive mistake. My top three mistakes with him are three, recruiting Dan Ashworth and then sacking him within the space of 3 months. I think that was just incredibly stupid. And I think it exposes what he is, Jason Wilcox. Very, very hard to work with, because he gave Ten Hag the job, sacked him 3 months later. He gave Ashworth the job, sacked him 3 months later. He gave Amorim the job, sacked him 12 months later. That shows to me he is an absolute nightmare to work with, and that he sacks people that challenge him. So I think the Ashworth one was the joke, because we potentially had we're meant to be getting a best-in-class director of football, and they lasted 3 months. So that would be my third worst mistake. His second worst mistake was Delap. That is just, I don't care. I know he's done the interview saying he can't help getting involved in the coaching, but I think your judgment's shite, mate. The fact that you think Liam Delap was a striker for Man United, and, you know, people say we dodged a bullet. We dodged a lot more than that. I mean, that was our number one striker target. And look, I wish Liam Delap all the best, but from a United point of view, and his number one mistake was trying to sell Bruno last summer. It was. I'm sorry, it was. And fair play to Bruno for not going, and Amorim and whoever else persuaded him to stay. Because that, when you look at this season, where would we be without Bruno? I don't think Mbeumo, Cunha, Ahmad, Sesko would be able to carry the void that had been left by Bruno. So look, I think they're my top three. Some people will say sacking Amorim, some people will say sacking Ten Hag, but yeah, he's made a lot of mistakes. We need 5-6 players. So how much will they spend? Players under 26, good enough, will be 80 to 100 million. Tonali, Anderson, Diamande at 500 million won't happen, says Jack. Mate, that there are so many uncertainties about Man United's summer transfer window. I agree. We all know what we need. We don't know what we're going to get. And we don't know whether we're being spun, or we don't know whether there's truth to it. We need one of the most... We probably need the biggest summer transfer window in United's history. That's a big statement to deliver. I don't know. Average Mail says, top show. Can you please wish my girlfriend Joanne a happy 40th birthday from Jamie? She does a top impression of your intro spiel. Everybody! That, I don't actually say hello, do I? I go, everybody! Happy birthday to Joanne. Welcome to the United Stand community, and I hope you have a great day. 40th birthday. God, I'm not nearly 50, but I remember being 40 and thinking, oh my God, but actually, every day's a gift. You don't know how long you've got. My main issue with Tonali is that I want Lewis Hall more, and I doubt they will sell both. I don't think Lewis Hall leaves Newcastle, Dio. I think Lewis Hall is a fantasy. I do not think he'll leave Newcastle. But the thing I would say about Lewis Hall is we don't necessarily need Lewis Hall. We need someone like Lewis Hall. Sweet Cheek says, do you think Rosinha's woes at Chelsea may scare the board away from Carrick and make them cast the manager net wider for a more experienced candidate? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. As I've said, Carrick is such a punt. That sounded like I was calling him something else then. It's such a punt in the dark. Done really well. Really, really well. But loads of interims have done really well. And then when you give them the job, you don't behave like an interim anymore. You've got to think long term. You've got to make big decisions. We'll be playing two games a week as well. There's such a difference to playing one game a week. Two games a week, not a lot of time to train. It's a, you know, has Michael Carrick managed a club that's trying to win a, you know, get back in the Champions League and play in the Champions League with Steve Holland and Jonathan Woodgate and Johnny Evans? It's not a very experienced lineup, that, at all. You know, I don't know. It's not going to be my decision. But look, as I said yesterday, I think the positive is you can't give the job to De Zerbi or Glasner anymore. I think if you're not going to give it to Carrick, you've got to get someone who's best in class. So the decision is the board's, and I'm quite relaxed about it. They go with Carrick and they get it wrong. Look at the big list of mistakes Wilcox has already made. He shouldn't be in a job now, but if he gets this wrong, he's got to go. If he goes for an experienced coach, then I don't think anyone's going to moan. Thank you so much. Right, let me just... This I found really interesting. A bit of a blast from the past. So Patrice Evra was talking about Carlos Tevez, and he said, Carlos Tevez is like a brother to me. When he joined Man City, we were photographed together by paparazzi in a public place. The next day, Sir Alex Ferguson called me into his office and said, if I see you with him again, I'll tear up your contract. I replied, but boss, he's my brother. And Sir Alex said, you can invite him to your home or he can invite you to his. But if I see you two together in public again, I'll tear up your contract. I love this. And look, maybe it's nostalgia. Maybe the world has changed. But so just because the world's changed doesn't mean it's better. Like, music's not better than it was in the 90s. Film isn't better than it was in the 90s. TV's not better than it was in the 90s. You could argue football's not better than it was in the 90s. And all you ever get from people is, stop living in the past, things change. But sometimes things don't change for the good. Nowadays in football, we see players in the tunnel at the end of the game, out and about, holding hands, mates, doesn't matter, they're just professionals. You've got a manager, the last manager that won things, and you're getting little things coming out like that from Evra. And you think, but that's why we won. People can say you can't do that these days. Well, that's why we can't win. Those little things are why we win. It's that mentality. It's that siege mentality. And you can imagine Sir Alex Ferguson pulling him in the office and saying, I'll rip your contract if I ever see you with Tevez again. Oh, he's my mate, Gaffer. I don't give a shit. I pay your wages. I don't want to see you out being photographed with a Man City striker. So see him in private. Not saying you can't be mates, but if I see you out again publicly, you're fired. And you think, that would never be allowed in the modern day, but that's why we won. Because that mentality then gets into your players. They're the enemy. This is not pantomime. This is competitive sport. Whether it's the Super Bowl, the Premier League, the World Cup, whatever. You're trying to win against other people who are trying to win. You can't play them on the Saturday and then be out publicly having a pint with them or a meal with them on the evening. Like, and it's absolutely spot on. We have lost all this. We've lost it. You can be his friend when you retire, says Latios. Yes. Another interesting thing I wanted to bring in as well. Not Tonali. Delo is 27 today. 27 Delo today. Should be the finished article heading into his prime. I think he's worse than he was when he was 22. If we don't cash in on him soon, he's going to be here till he's 32. We're going to be stuck with him for a long time. 27 today. Look, I like Delo. I like his mentality, but I'm allowed to have an opinion on him as a footballer. And I think at 27, we should be looking to cash in there and upgrade. He is not going to hold that. He's not going to be valuable in 2 or 3 years' time, and we'll never be able to get rid. Delo and Shaw need to be replaced. I think it's very, very important. And sticking with right back, Mazraoui is actually, as things stand, an AFCON winner. Because there was an amazing statement last night from the African Federation that 2 months after the final, where Senegal won, they've reviewed it and decided that Morocco won because Senegal forfeited the game by walking off the pitch. Senegal are going to appeal, but on a purely end-of-show head mess, how would you deal with that if Man United won the Premier League? We celebrated it for 2 months, and then 2 months later, the Premier League come along and go, actually, we reviewed something. You did something wrong. You didn't win the league. The team in second place did. I mean, you just can't get your head around that, can you? You've spent 2 months celebrating, feeling like a winner, and then you're told you haven't won it. But does it actually take away the fact that on the night you celebrated it? It's weird. It's really, really weird. But technically, as things stand at the moment, Mazraoui is a Champions League winner. I've just been sent this by Beth. Juventus are set to target Bernardo Silva after cooling their interest in Tonali. Man United and Arsenal are both keen on the Italian midfielder, forcing Juve to explore alternatives. Silva is now firmly on their radar ahead of a free transfer summer. Look, I think Tonali would love to be able to go back to Italy, but it reminds me a little bit of the golden cage that I think Mbappe's been in. Harry Kane's been in it at Spurs. You can want to go somewhere, but you become trapped in a golden cage because Tonali might want to go to AC Milan or Juventus or Inter Milan, but those clubs can't give Newcastle 80, 90, 100 million pounds and give him wages. They just can't do it. So it might be Tonali's dream to go to Italy, but his agent will be going, we can't do that at the moment. This is not going to happen for you. There is no club in Italy that can pay Newcastle what it's going to take. So you either stay at Newcastle and run your contract down for 3 years and go to Italy at 29, or you leave Newcastle and you go to a bigger Premier League club or maybe Real Madrid. But you can't go to Italy, mate, because Newcastle will not do that deal. They've got you on a three-year deal and you're worth £80 to £100 million. There's no Italian club that can buy you. So I'm not worried about Tonali in Italy. Maybe he does want to go there, but he can't afford it. You know, it's like my gran. She always wanted to go to Disney World and she couldn't afford it. And realistically, I think people who just go to Disney World who are over 30 and don't have kids are odd. But I'm allowed to say that. This is the summer we need to bring in players to compete on all fronts next season. Will this board do it? We've seen this story before, says Tony. Yeah, well, I can't answer that question. Yeah. He has made so many bad decisions and had so many bad ideas. I don't give him praise as he hasn't earned it. We'd be far worse off if he had all his way, says Daniel. Look, Sir Jim Radcliffe, if I could say one thing to you, it's incredible that you haven't sacked your director of football. When you list off everything he's done, it's incredible that you're still letting him choose our manager and our signings this summer. I mean, I don't know how incompetent you are, Sir Jim, but the list of things that Wilcox has done wrong, it's almost sabotage. I mean, he did play for Blackburn and Leeds, you know. and he worked at Man City. I mean, have you actually thought this through? Because this guy just keeps making loads and loads of mistakes. Right, what a show this morning. Thank you so much. Nearly 8,000 tuning in. Make sure you smash a like. I'd love to read your top three Wilcox mistakes, by the way, because there's about 10. Please do drop those into the comments and your thoughts on everything else. Tonight, we have got a 2 o'clock show, but tonight I'm going to do the Man United Bournemouth preview for two reasons. One, we're playing Friday night. So as much as it's weird to do a preview on a Wednesday, we are playing Friday night. So it works. Two, I'm doing Newcastle-Barcelona at 5:45 on That's Football. And then straight after that, I'm doing Liverpool-Galatasaray. So the preview will be going up at about 7:30 in between the two. But if you want to join me for Tonali Watch, it's actually a 5:45 game UK time. I've loved the show this morning. Chunky Chunk says it's been a good show. It's been a fantastic show this morning. Really enjoyed it. And 62% of you would still give Newcastle £100 million for Tonali. And I agree. I think we need to start calling out these United fans who love and get excited about reducing costs in the wage bill. I mean, it's weird. It's just bloody weird. You get what you pay for. Speak to you later. Take care.